Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Welcome to Playful Podcast, your guide into the underground scene where we discover topics on kink and electronic music every week. Don't forget to subscribe to not miss out on our next episode. We're happy to be here today with Lexi, better known as the Dark Frau. Lexi is a selector at the Berlin Techno Club Tresor, a dominatrix, a performer, and a person you have most definitely met if you've been out and about in Berlin. In this conversation, we speak about Lexi's experience in clubs, divorces, how she gained confidence to do the explicit performance shows that she is known for today, and yeah, I'd say this is a very casual and funny conversation between two friends and you. And by the way, the clubs we mention are Kit Kat, Berghain, Tresor, and Sisyphus. And for you who are not familiar with any of them since before, they are all Berlin-based. Anyways, let's get to it. I am Amanda, and this is Playful Podcast. Before we start this week's episode, I have a little gift for you, as this episode is brought to you by Cheeks. You may know by now that we at Playful stand behind the message "Pay for your porn," not only as it's better for all parts involved with the creation of it, but also as you'll get real quality. That's why we're so excited to be able to give you a 7 days free trial of Cheeks. Now you can finally stay at home on this rain and gray day and just dwell in erotic films, erotic audio stories, expert-led workshops on sexual wellness, and a taboo-breaking magazine. You see, there's a lot of pleasure, but also some knowledge. So if I were you, I'd go to getcheeks.com, link is also in our description, and type in the code PLAYFUL7. That means playful in capital letters and the number 7. Personally, I love Cheeks and what they're adding to the pornography scene. Scrolling through getcheeks.com, you'll not only get turned on and get many amazing ideas to incorporate in your own sex life, but also some educational content and audio erotica. Who doesn't want to get turned on when walking around with your headphones listening to sexy stories about things that may or may not happen? With the promo code PLAYFUL7, you'll get access to the subscription-based sexual wellness platform Cheeks for free for 7 days when you select the annual subscription option. You can cancel anytime during the trial and also change to a monthly subscription if you prefer that. Head to the link in the episode description and dive into a world of healthy sexual pleasure. Thank you, Cheeks.
Okay, let's go back. Who was little Lexi?
Little girl Lexi. Well, I'm from California. I'm from LA. And what was I? I played the cello.
Oh, yeah.
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 I played that for 3 years. Played the violin. I always really liked to cook.
Even as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, like I, like my mother had The Joy of Cooking. I used to read The Joy of Cooking and make things out of this. Like, I'm a really good scratch cook. Like, I make everything from scratch. I hate mixes. I like the beach. I went to school there. I was a huge reader. Like,
so very well-behaved kid.
Pretty much. I mean, high school, that's a little bit
where,
wild.
Where shit started to hit the fan.
Right. Well, not even hit the fan. Like, just wild. And, like, my parents are fairly conservative. So I was maybe a little bit wild for them.
Trying the...
Right. And my parents separated when I was 14, which I was like, thank God, like, they're finally done.
Yeah. Okay, so it wasn't a traumatic experience when they broke up.
No. My sister and I were like, thank fuck. Right, so they split up when I was 14, and then that's when like time to do wild shit.
Oh, right.
Yeah, right.
You were feeling like they cannot communicate so much.
Exactly.
So they don't know where I am at.
Exactly. Right. And so this was like no cell phones, no pager. Like I maybe had a pager, but like my mother didn't even like me having pagers. She used to say you shouldn't be that accessible to anyone. Right. Right. So.
So she started to teach you your dumb persona.
A bit. Like, is it based off of my mother? No, it's more like after Alexis Carrington from Dynasty. But, like, original Dynasty. Joan Collins, Alexis Carrington. Right. I love her. So I did that. I was a little bit wild, you know, and had children early, like 20. Which helped me get my shit together, actually. Like, that was the best thing I've ever done, like, have children.
Yeah. But you were 20, and you were still living in
California. California. Yeah, yeah. I didn't move here until 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I was there, and partying is different there. So you go to a club at, like, clubs open at 8, right? Because, and then it's like ladies free till 10. And then after that, 10 to 2, because bars close at 2. Oh. And like that's bars, clubs, everything. Alcohol service stops at 2 o'clock in the morning in LA. So it's done. Last call's 1:30 and you're back on the streets, or unless you go to a strip club. Now I love strip clubs. I love strip clubs, at least the ones in the States. The ones here are terrible. But like,
really? What's different?
Well, first of all, I love to watch people on the pole. Like, pole dancing is an art. Mm. And I actually used to be a pole dancer when I was 21. Ah. That's actually how I met my ex-husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Doing pole stuff. And so I love to watch pole dancing. And if I'm at a strip club and a woman clicks her heels together, tip. Take my money. Here. That's what I live for, that. Right. It's just really fun. It's like loud music, people getting naked, people dancing, like what
uncontrolled party.
Yeah. Mm. Right. But it's controlled because like in the States, like you can't touch the stripper.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean the energy more so.
Yeah, I love, like, the energy.
Right? Yeah, because in the other parties, like girls free and ladies free, whatever, yeah. Then my kind of view when you talk about that is to my experiences that have been that everyone is very formal and everything is very, like, square.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I've partied in Stockholm.
Aye.
That's loosely. I'm going to use the term partied. Actually, I wore this necklace for you today because I bought this in Stockholm.
Oh, really? I love it. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. I was in Stockholm for a convention. Uh-huh. Yeah. A sex worker convention in 2019. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun.
Was fun?
The convention was.
Yeah.
Stockholm, I would not describe this as a fun place. It was definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it was extremely beautiful, but, like, in a very different way than I was expecting. Like, surrounded by water, which I love because, like, I'm from a beach city. And, the smell of the ocean was always there.
Yeah.
And you could hear the waves and, oh.
It was in the summertime, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't imagine being there in the winter. I imagine, like,
that's
You kind of want to throw yourself in the ocean. But it was beautiful, like these dark rocks. And I'm just like, what is this?
Okay, so, but then how did you decide to move to Berlin? And were you already a dominatrix then?
No.
No?
No. So, I had been a stripper years before, met my ex-husband there who promptly wanted me to stop stripping, of course. And I did, and I was a housewife there for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you being a housewife.
Well, because I shouldn't be a housewife.
No.
No.
You're so social.
Yeah, right. And so I would, I was one of those housewives, like those New York socialites who would like go to and have fundraisers and things like this. Like I wrote grants for things. I was very active in politics, particularly about like organic food and like the access to it and food deserts. I owned a farmer's market when I was in the States. I'm really passionate about food. I love to eat. Yeah. I love to eat. Like I saw me like when I came in here, I was like, can I go get something to eat? So I split up with my husband in 2014 and I was very tired of being in the States. Mm. It was still, 2014 wasn't a bad time. Like who was still in office? It was not Clinton, Obama. Obama was in office. Yeah. And so I had like a series of 2011 was like the worst year of my life. Like my grandmother died. I filed for divorce the first time. My mother lost her house and moved out of state. So like I didn't really have anything holding me in the States anymore. And I'd always said, if I leave California, I'm going to leave the States. So 2018, I was on OkCupid. And I met this guy, and I was going to be in London. So I was going to see him in London, but that didn't work out. And we decided that we would meet up again. And I was like, okay, well, you come into the States or, like, do I go to Europe? And he was like, well, I can only take, like, a long weekend, so why don't you come here? And I was like, fuck it, why not? So I decide that I am going to come here. And at the time, like, have you ever flown? If you try to fly from the States to Berlin, it's not so easy. It's expensive and not so easy because Berlin doesn't have, well, it has an international airport, but, like, it doesn't have a carrier to fly, like, uses it as a hub. So you, for me, like, I found it was cheaper for me to, like, to go to, like, a place with a hub and then go into Berlin.
Yeah.
So this is what I did. Like, I went to Copenhagen, Madrid, Berlin, and then Rome. I was, like, in Europe for, like, about better part of 2 weeks. Mm. And so basically the short story is I came here on a date, but I went to these other cities to check them out to see if I wanted to live there. And I went to Copenhagen and it's really cute, but no.
Yeah.
Right? Madrid, cuter. No. Okay.
But what made you decide to live in Berlin?
Berlin? Yeah. Oh, okay. So on the way to the airport, no, this is not true. On the way that day to getting ready to go to the airport, I was dropping someone off. And as I was waiting for the light, like as I was waiting for it to be clear so I can drive and make this right turn, a delivery truck turns into me, right? And fucks my car, but like doesn't total it. I'm able to drop my friend off. I'm able to like go back to my friend's house with my car like limping, my poor baby. And I go to my friend. I'm like, you know what? I think this is a sign I'm not supposed to go on this trip. And he's like, nah, maybe you're right. You're right. And I was like, oh. So I call my most pragmatic friend, right? I'm like, Janet, I think maybe this is a sign I'm not supposed to go on this trip. And she said, are you fucking crazy? Like, you just, like, you worked an extra job for, like, 2 weeks to, like, afford this trip. And you can't do anything in L.A. with no car for, like, 11 days. Like, get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, okay, you're right. So I go on this trip. I go to Berlin, fucking fall in love with Berlin. I got catfished by Berlin. Let me just say this first. I'll go back to in a second. But I go back to LA and I'm like telling anybody that will listen, oh my God, Berlin's fantastic. Oh my God, I fucking love Berlin. Berlin's amazing. I want to go back to Berlin. I want to live in Berlin. And my friend's like, oh, well, cool. So I call her up, Kelly Curry. I think I want to live in Berlin. And she's like, oh, girl, call me back on WhatsApp. So I call her back on WhatsApp. She's like, I'm in Berlin. That's why I had you call me on WhatsApp. I'm like, oh, fuck, crazy. So I'm telling her I like the city. And she's like, you know, I don't know if I like it. And I'm like, well, you have to go out into the city. You can't sit in someone's house in Berlin. Like, otherwise, you'll fucking hate it. And she was like, okay, you're right. So I go out. She goes out. I call her like 3 days later. I'm like, Kelly, I like Berlin. I can't get this city out of my head. I want to live there, I think. And she's like, really? And she's like, Berlin's fucking dope. You were right. You have to be out in it. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, this car accident situation, if I get a settlement, instead of them fixing the car, I'll take the money and I'll move to Berlin. And less than a minute later, my phone beeped, and it was the insurance company.
When meant to be.
Yeah, and it was like, we're going to give you a settlement. And I clicked back over, my bitch, I'm moving to Berlin. And this was in May or June of 2018, and I moved here August 2018.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And today, you are working as a dominatrix, a professional party. I don't know. Like, you also perform at a lot of the clubs.
Yeah. So, like, I was just saying the other day, I'm kind of a socialite.
Yes, definitely.
Right?
But you're also one of the selectors at Tresor.
Yeah. Well, I'm not there right now, because, like, not for the winter, but, like, I think I'm going to go back, like, during the summertime. But, yes. Okay. Mm. But you can still ask me any selection questions, because, like, they still apply.
No, because as a selector, you have to kind of, I guess, what did they tell you when they hired you? Like, you are gonna make sure that the people who you let in.
So, Tresor was like one of the last clubs to reopen after everything. Tresor didn't open at all during lockdown, except for like a very special month. Like, it was like a exhibit or something they had there, right?
30 years, no?
Yeah, exactly. But that was the only time. It wasn't like, you know, like Kit Kat would open and close, and like when the club commission did that.
They waited until it was safe.
Yeah, they waited until everything was open again. Mm. Like, so, Tresor is kind of it's kind of a bro-y club, right?
Yeah.
It's not a fetish club. It is a techno club. And there's actually two clubs inside of Tresor, Globus and Tresor. And neither one of them are fetish. They're just like for like music nerds and techno geeks. I appreciate these people, right? But then also you get a lot of tourists. So it had this weird reputation in the city. It still does. But when they opened up again, the person that hired me was telling me that they were really trying to focus on making it a safe place for Flinta people, right? And to change the reputation of it and the door, and change the door reputation. So everyone that is at the door at Tresor is a Flinta person, right? So no cis men, except for the bouncers, right? So everyone that's doing selection is a Flinta person. And I made some of my best friends in Berlin there. But the goal was to make it a safer place, create awareness. Tresor has an awareness team, and to just make it a place that's more accessible and not just for like this cishet white dude place.
Mm. All right. So what is something that you think about when
selecting?
Yeah.
Okay. The first thing I check is vibe.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel that?
I have very good
sense.
Yeah, but there's like a German word for it. I always say it wrong. Menschenkenntnis. I always say it wrong.
Yeah. Human knower. Your person knower.
Yeah. Like I can feel people. I feel their vibe, feel their energy. I sound so hippie when I say that, but whatever. It's the truth, right? So I have a very good sense of people. And when they walk up, I can usually tell. And I'm actually, when I'm looking at the line, I'm not looking at the first person that's in line. I'm looking like at the 10th and 15th person to see what they're doing.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And already there you have decided.
Yeah.
But what is a good vibe though? What's the right vibe to create a nice space?
Okay, so there's many things. I look at how they react to me, right? Because I don't always just stand right there. Maybe sometimes I'm leaning against something or, you know, talking to a friend or, you know, just kind of there. And I'm just kind of checking people out while I'm doing this, and I like to see how they approach. Do they come too close? Do they observe where they're supposed to stay? Are they paying attention to the line? You know, are they seeing that? Do I have to call them over? Right.
Line skippers are not welcome.
I don't like line skippers. No. But I can appreciate a line skipper, right? Like, if you own it, if you own it. I can appreciate a line skipper, but it's not even the line skipper. It's like, are you paying attention to what's going on in front of you? Mm. Right? Like, do you see, like, there's, like, did you see that we just let a group of, like, 7 people go in? Like, why are you standing over here? Oh, you're talking. You're not paying attention. Mm. Right? So I check that out. How they're dressed is another thing. Like, I'm not going to say, like, all black says no or anything like that. But, like, there's been many nights, many Wednesdays standing there because... Trezor is right next to Kit Kat, where people come in like chains and like sparkly outfits. And I'm like, did you get rejected from Kit Kat? And they're like, yeah.
And what do you do then? Are they welcome?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If they lie to me about it, no.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, some people, you can tell, you're like, okay, you obviously were going to go to Symbiotica. You did not know who was playing here. You just came here because it was around the corner. And if they're just like, yeah, fuck it, I got, like, they said no, I'm like, okay, whatever, come on in. It's cute.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, exactly, own it.
Yeah, exactly. I think you have to own whatever it is. I don't, if someone's like an obvious asshole, I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Very obviously. Some people, you can see it on their face. Mm. Just like, ugh.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
The way they talk to you.
And but there's a big talk about safe spaces or safer spaces. What's your view on that?
Like, is it possible?
Yeah.
It's possible to have a safer space. I don't think there's any place that's ever going to be 100% safe. Mm-hmm. Except maybe your living room. But even that's not, you know, nothing in life is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So in club situations, I think that clubs since... we reopened in what, April, May? Have been more conscious about safer spaces. But I think it's also because people are more vocal about it. Which is, it's required on both ends. Like, clubs can't fix things that they're unaware of. But I feel that a lot of the times clubs don't fix things that they're aware of.
Mm. Do you feel safe when you're going out?
I do.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, you know, like, I'm not someone you would necessarily approach badly. I'm not exactly sure how to explain it, but like, I kind of put out an energy that kind of like a don't fuck with me energy, right? So I'm not going to be someone that you generally approach badly. But if you do, I will probably like tell you to go fuck yourself or get the fuck away from me like really quickly, right? So there's that. But also, I'm really well known in clubs, so like, I usually know the bouncer. I usually know that. So like, I have had people come and fuck with me. Like, they've, like, crossed both of these boundaries. And then I had to go get a bouncer. And then, like, it was straightened out really quick. Mm. But I'm unique in this, you know? Mm. Not everybody has this this connection to the clubs. I don't know that if I wasn't so ingratiated into the scene, like, it would be as safe for me.
Yeah, do you remember back when you first got here? And yeah. How did you feel then in clubs?
I was very cautious, always, but I'm from L.A., and in L.A., you know, like, you don't put your drinks down and walk away. Like, you always have your drink next to you, or you drink that shit really fast. You don't take candy from strangers.
Yeah, okay.
Including nose candy. You don't take candy from strangers. You're always very aware, but in L.A., it's a different situation. Like, you know, like, someone could pull out a gun somewhere, you know, like, people are more prone to be aggressive and fight. In Berlin, you might get physically assaulted, but or you might get sexually assaulted more than physically assaulted is what I think. So you have, as a woman, you have to be very aware of your situations. I'm unique that I usually go out by myself. I have a couple people I take clubbing with me, but not so many. But I'm also in spaces I know really extremely well. So I'm not, I wish there was a better way to like tell women to go out here. I don't think, and this might be a thing that we could talk about later, but like, I think that a lot of people don't know how to party in Berlin.
What do you mean with this?
I see this at the door. you have a lot of tourists that come in, right? And they don't know club culture. Like, they don't know about, like, how we do selection. Like, they feel personally attacked by selection when it's not personal at all. Like, we're just, like, curating a particular experience for that night. But they're not aware of this. Then, like, each club is different. Each club has a different vibe. Like, you would not necessarily wear what you wear to... Okay. There's some clubs that have some club culture. Like, I could probably wear what I wear to Kit Kat to Sisyphus. But that's just because I like to wear color and things like this. But, and like, Trezor and Berghain, you could probably wear similar clothes in there. But, like, you're not going to go from, like, Kit Kat to Berghain in the same outfit generally. You're not going to go to, like, Kautoblau in the same outfit. You know, like, you don't, people don't know about, like, how to dress in these clubs. And I tell people all the time, they're like, well, how am I supposed to know how to dress? I'm like, just, like, spend 5 minutes on Instagram and, like, look. Like, you know, like, Kik has one of the few clubs that has a club photographer. And you can see how people are dressed. If they're inside getting photographed, then they were dressed correctly, you know? Kik also has their rules on there. And I know that you know someone who didn't get in because they were wearing white shoes.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
and she was like having a outfit, like, yeah, it was part of her,
right? And so, and like, and you're you, and they still didn't let your friend in with white shoes, remember?
Oh, but I did not know the person who was sitting at the door.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Right. And she just did not like my friend, and it was just obvious that she didn't like her,
right?
So it was like, I mean,
right,
even if we would talk to someone who would know us and say, like, hey, they would be like, well, you know, she does, you know, you cannot make
no,
a
yeah,
person
no, no.
change your mind.
Well, like, also, mind. Like, in the club, like, it's bad mm-hmm. etiquette, like, as a selector to, like, go over someone else's no.
Yeah, exactly. That's...
It's really bad form.
That's not cool.
No. Yeah. So people don't know that not to wear white shoes. I mean, just, like, spend 5 minutes, like, looking at the club you think you might want to go to and see how to dress. Doesn't take that much effort. And this is another thing. This is what I hate about people at the door. Nobody puts in effort. Put in some fucking effort. Sorry. Put in effort. Like, Gigan, put in some effort. Especially, like, if you are a straight guy coming to this party. This is a queer party. Don't come in, like, your Amazon harness and your Hanes boxer briefs. Spend some money, or you don't even have to spend money. Just spend some time thinking about what to wear. Like, Gigan Plastic, I went to that a couple of weeks ago. Ooh, that was 3 Gigans ago. I made a dress out of plastic wrap. I'll show you a picture of that later. Literally, just went to DM and, like, made an outfit out of plastic wrap.
Yeah.
Effort.
How much did it cost?
Less than a euro.
Less than a euro?
Yes.
Very creative.
Right? Mm-hmm. But this is what I'm saying. Like, people don't put in effort. People just, like, they feel like this club experience is owed to them, I think, when they come over here, right? And I'm like, you have to put in work here. Like, mm-hmm. Berlin will, like, you can make all your dreams come true. I was at Kit Kat.
You can make all your dreams.
I was at Kit Kat last weekend, and I was in the sauna, and there was these two boys. They're boys because they were, like, 19. And, like, all I hear was, like, wah, 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 wah. And, like, these, like, little idiots were in the pool. They jump in the pool fully clothed, right? No. Then they get out the pool, and they're, like, hopping around, being loud, and go straight to the sauna with clothes on, right? And they're, like, the sauna people, I think, were about to murder them and just, like, kick them directly out the club. And then I talked to them. Australian tourists, which are some of the worst.
What day was this? On a Saturday?
This is a Saturday. Really? Right. But these little, like, 19-year-old Australian tourists are like, blah, blah, I don't know why I can't get in there. I'm like, bro, like, calm down. Like, there's literally a sign that says, like, you must be naked, right? Mm. I was like, listen, you little assholes. I said this, like, because they weren't listening, because they were fighting with them. I was like, you're about to get kicked out of this club. But I was like, this job, you can make all your dreams come true. You can, like... You can find beautiful women, beautiful men if that's what you're into. Like, you have all the drinks. You can be here until 7 o'clock in the evening, right? You can dance all night. You can do whatever you want in this club. But you can't be a dick. Like follow the rules. Just see what everybody else is doing, you know? You don't see everybody jumping in the pool like a dick face.
Like a dick face.
Yeah, right?
Okay, but so what is your view then on sex clubs and freedom?
Freedom? Huh. There's a bit of freedom in it, I guess. Like you can go out and do what you want, dress how you want. But maybe in this moment I'm conflating BDSM clubs and sex clubs or swinger clubs. Because to me, the way I, like, I don't have sex in Kit Kat.
No.
No.
Because?
I'm there too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the reason.
Yeah, I cut it off, right? Because, like, and I actually really don't pick up people. Like, I don't really hook up with people from Kit Kat. If I'm going to hook up with somebody, it's not going to be a Kit Kat. Just, like, an FYI, if anybody's trying to hook up with me, it's not going to be a Kit Kat. Because it's too much, it's too home. But there's a BDSM element of Kit Kat, and I'm a BDSM practitioner, but I kind of hate the BDSM scene because they're supposed to be this freedom, like you could do whatever you want, it's all this expression, but like everybody falls into this stupid uniform of it, right? There's all this, you wear black, you wear these particular harnesses, and also like, let me say this all the time, it's a lot of white dudes being dominant over like little tiny minority women, and I think that's shit, right?
Disgusting.
It's fucking disgusting. And like there's a prime example of someone I don't like that's in the BDSM scene that like practices openly at one of the clubs I go to.
Let's beep the name.
You only see him with, like, very young girls, you know, that are very new to the scene who probably just hooked up with him because, like, he could get them in a on that level. And, yeah, I get the girls doing this, but, like, it's abusive. I don't like it. So there you go.
And if so many people feel that this person is abusive, mm-hmm. how come they are still...
I think the thing is that you have so many, like, you have people who are not aware of, like, the abusive tendencies and like how he is in the scene, and they just see this person who's doing these things that look cool, but then like if you look a little bit deeper, you know, it's not that.
Yeah.
And like this particular club has a lot of tourists and like a lot of young people who are like find this exciting.
Do you think there could be ways to make it safer
to not have this person in the scene? Yeah.
No, but I mean, are there other ways that you believe it could be safer?
BDSM?
No, the club, the sex clubs.
Sex club scene. You know, there's some clubs I would tell you I think personally do a decent job. Like, I think Insomnia does a decent job of keeping people pretty safe.
They have a little bit older crowd also. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
How do they manage to keep it safe, would you say?
Well, first of all, they make it a little bit more expensive, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I think that you pay a little bit more money, maybe you act a little bit better. This is me. Also, Insomnia is very strict with their dress code. You're not going to get in there wearing, like, your boxer briefs. Generally not. If you are, you're fucking hot. not cute. You're fucking hot. And Insomnia, in fact, they sell clothes there. Like, if you come there and, like, you don't have the right outfit, you can buy an outfit right there. Dominique is very smart. Also, Dominique... I don't know if you know, she used to do the door at Kit Kat.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So she learned from this stuff. Yeah. And also, another thing is, Insomnia is a club that is woman-owned and woman-operated. So, like, everybody that's in a position of power in Insomnia is a woman.
And I think it makes a change.
Yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you have, like, women in charge of this, they look out for these things. And... I have never seen, like, anyone go to Insomnia and say, like, this person was harassing me and that person was still in the club, like, 10 minutes later.
In Insomnia, you've never seen it?
They will put people out. Like, they correct course. They're not playing that. Because women are very important in this club, right? You have a lot of people that, like, there's... When you usually go to a sex club or a swinging club, there's usually more men than women, right? Just always, right? But Insomnia's, like, women are important, and if, like... There aren't women here. There will not be men here. So they make sure they take care of the women. Also, Insomnia is the only club I take my shoes off in Berlin. It is impeccably clean.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just an FYI.
Okay, but you are also a dominatrix.
I am.
How? What?
I work at a Studio Lux.
Yeah. How did that journey start?
So when I visited Berlin in 2018, I'm going to cough for a second. Sorry. I needed German man repellent. Like, these men, like, would literally follow me places. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I was like, how can I, like, benefit off of this? How can I monetize this? I was like, I could be a dominatrix because I don't have to have sex with these men. And that was that's where the thought came into my head.
As a dominatrix, you don't have to have sex with them.
No.
Ah, you mean, okay.
No, like, classical domination, no sex. I'm what they call a bizarre lady here. Bizarre lady. Okay. Which means there's the option of some sex. It's not guaranteed. Like, you're not going to book me for, like, 2 hours of sex. That's not going to happen. Oh. But, like, if you're cute and the vibe's right, who knows what could happen? Who knows? But I...
Who knows? I just love that. Oh, so cute. Okay.
Right. What made me, like, decide to go full on into it? I don't know. It's interesting. You always have an interesting story. And sex work is, like, one of the last things in this world that is actually a matriarchy. Tends to be matriarchy. I know that people are multigendered and, like, not conforming, but I will probably just use, like, male, female for this interview. But, like, it is the purest form of matriarchy I think that's still left. Women go into here, they make the most money, they control the situation. Like, it's a woman dominated field. Being a dominatrix is one of the few places where a woman makes more money as she gets older. Teacher is one of the ones. But a dominatrix is also a teacher. Never doubt that. And so I really like that appeal of it. I like not being dominated by men. I like the fact that I get to control everything about it. What my name is, what I look like, my marketing, who I accept as a client. I don't have to take a client because I'm privileged in my sex work that I don't have to take everyone that comes as a client. So there's a lot of choice and freedom in this. And I'm not a typical dominatrix. Especially here in Berlin, I am a Black American woman who is not stick thin, who wears a lot of color, who, like, I don't conform to this BDSM model. I'm very different from it. And also, like, the type of domination I do is usually not as physical, though I will beat the shit out of you if you want me to. Right? I'm very good at that. But, like, I'm like a psychological sadist. I really like to fuck with people's brains. I love that.
What, did it ever go too far? Did someone ever feel that you know, that it was like they got bullied?
No. I am extremely conscious of boundaries. So, like, this person I was talking about earlier, I know that they're not. Me, I am possibly too conscious of boundaries. I'll be like, oh, no, are you okay? Like, you know.
Okay, yeah. But was there ever any situation that you felt were dangerous when being in this job? That you were put in?
That was in danger? No, I've definitely been uncomfortable. I've also done escort work. And escort work, to me, is less controlled. I didn't feel... I'm fortunate where I've never had to feel... where I felt unsafe. And I'm like, never. I keep saying, no, not never. Yeah, never. Strip clubs in L.A.? That's a different ballgame. Yeah, you're on guard all the time. But Berlin is not the same, fortunately. And also, I mentioned I'm privileged. I get to work out of a studio Lux. Like, so there is security systems. There's usually someone around. I'm indoors. Everyone doesn't have this privilege. You know, there's a lot of people that do, like, street-based work because this is what's available to them. You know?
And that's more so often in countries where it's illegal.
Yeah, right. Sex work is legal in Germany, but you have to register to do it.
And it's also legal to buy sex work.
It is.
Yeah.
Unlike in Sweden, where it's the Swedish model, the Nordic model, where it's legal to sell but illegal to buy, and I've met people from Sweden that've come down like here to buy sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting, but I am privileged in a lot of ways. I will openly say this. Like I said, I'm able to work at a studio. To work out of a studio, I need work permission in Germany, which I have. You know, like I'm able to do these things. I'm able to work and afford. I'm able to have another job where I don't have to depend on sex work all the time, which makes it actually more fun for me. Like when I had to only depend on sex work, it's fucking miserable. You're like, oh, I gotta take this client. But like now I get to take clients because I want to, because I want the experience.
Yeah, okay. What is your main job?
I mean, I would tell you maybe partying is my main job.
But do you get paid to party?
Yes. That, I mean, like, and then, like, I make so many connections. Like, while people are partying, I'm, like, I'm always the person that has a pen and a pad with me. Like, I make so many connections.
Yeah.
I've gotten jobs this way. I've gotten apartments through partying, you know, like.
Yeah, you're a social butterfly.
I am. And then I've gotten modeling jobs from being in the scene. You know, I get performance gigs from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say performing, being a socialite is my primary job. Doing door and dominatrix are second and third.
Okay, so how often do you take clients as a dominatrix then? Like once a week?
Let's say twice a month right now.
Ah, twice a month?
Yeah, okay. Because I've been really, I'm terrible at self-promotion. I party my fucking ass off, terrible at self-promotion. By the way, I have a website, thedarkfrau.com.
It's really nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's super nice.
My friend made it for me, and like I've had this website for like 4 months. I just like let people know I've had it like last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing has changed on this website, but I just let people know last week because I'm fucking terrible at self-promotion.
Why is that, though?
I don't know. I mean, like, would you also know that I have stage fright?
I didn't know.
Oh, I have terrible stage fright.
Really? Doesn't look like.
I know, right? Terrible stage fright. Like, I'm backstage, like, I'm listening to music the entire time. I'm putting on my makeup. I'm in the zone. Like, someone I know was backstage at the performance I had in December. I put them out. I was like, you have to go. Like, I cannot get ready for this. Afterwards, I'm like, okay. But, like, until that moment I get on the stage, freaking out.
Really? Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of the same thing. I feel like being judged.
Yeah. That can be really rough.
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone is, like, praising you.
Yeah, right. But so I don't enjoy performance. Like people are like, are you excited? I'm like, no, I'm never excited. I like a performance afterwards. Mm. Yeah, I'm like, oh shit, I did a good job.
Yeah.
But like the moment up to that, I'm like, ugh. But I have to remind myself that nobody knows I fucked up unless I tell them.
Oh yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so this is what I'm trying to take into 2023 with me.
Did you ever feel that you, because today when you perform, just for everyone listening, it's very explicit. Like, it's like completely nude. It can be body fluids shooting over the dance floor.
Pulling things out of my vagina.
I've seen it all.
Yes, this happens.
Yeah. And were you always sexually free, or did you always feel that you're comfortable with your sexuality and with your, you know, body and all these things? Because as a woman, it's also, at least I feel, you can be like, you can feel like, what's the name?
Body conscious?
You can be that, but also slut shaming and these kind of things, that you're not allowed to be sexually free in this sense. You can feel a pressure of like, but ooh, what do you mean? You know,
right.
You should take yourself secondary, not please yourself at first. You know, that it can be a bit of work up till then. Now, when I see you, I see a woman who's like, definitely you're pleasing yourself first. That's the first.
Yeah. Well, getting divorced will definitely, like, will definitely help teach you to please yourself first. Right. That was a big lesson for me. But So I'm thinking, like, some of the biggest sluts I know are men, mm-hmm. right? And, like, no one ever calls them out. So, like, I'll tell everybody all the time, go call him out. He's a fucking he's a whore. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right? But I have, as a woman, as a black woman, as a not skinny woman, as an American, I always have somebody looking at me, judging me, right? So what can I do? I might as well enjoy myself. But in terms of, like, body confidence, this goes up and down, of course. Like, there's some days I love my body. Some days I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like, oh, I have this mark here. I have this. This person doesn't have it. Like, I look at you. I'm going to go, you're a hot piece. Like you're
come to mama.
Like, you and Sweetie Daddy are a very good-looking couple.
Is it an invite, Lexi?
I don't know. Sweetie Daddy's always saying no to me to things. Like, say, I asked for offer to buy him a sandwich.
I saw you two kissing.
I'm a little peck. Can I give you a kiss,
Yeah, maybe you
did. No. Okay. what was I saying?
Yeah, we were talking about confidence. But sexually confident, were you... So after the divorce, you started to feel that to take your own pleasure first.
Yeah, and this was a process because, like, I've lost a lot of weight. Yeah, I've lost about 20 kilos. I'll show you a picture of that later. But in L.A., being overweight and, like... It's not the most pleasant thing. So I just, like, learned to enjoy myself. I went on OkCupid, and I made myself I have a fuck it list. Have you heard me talk about my fuck it list?
I recognize it, but I don't think I know what's on it.
It's the types of people I wanted to sleep with.
Ah, no, I haven't heard about this, no.
Yeah, it's on my phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was like, there's different types of people I wanted to sleep with. And I was like, I'm just gonna go through it. Like, you know, I would put it on my OkCupid, and I got so many people. I slept with so many people that way.
You put your... Oh, you still have OkCupid.
I still have an account somewhere. Like, could I get in it right now? I don't think so. But, like, in LA, this is how I started it, right?
Oh, and you put the names on your OkCupid.
Yep. I was like, I would like to sleep with a vegan, an engineer, a race car driver.
No names.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, I mean, like, there's two names on there. There's definitely Hugh Grant. And what's his name? Doctor Who, but the cute doctor. David Tennant.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's somebody else. Like, I was like, okay, like, you gotta speak.
And a vegan.
I slept with a vegan.
And
this particular vegan was annoying. So
only one vegan. I'm also very impressed.
Okay.
In Berlin, there are many vegans.
Well, I don't know. Okay, so I stopped asking about the vegan thing after a while because, like, I would literally, like, it's like a checklist on my phone. And I'd be like, which one of these things do you fit?
And normally they fit into some.
Yeah, and they would love it.
What's your favorite category?
What's
the best ones?
Okay. The one, and left-handed. People laugh at me all the time. Left-handed.
Okay, how come?
I've never had bad sex with a left-handed person. And I know this to be fact.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I was asking, you know.
So that's like on top of your list. Please be left-handed.
Oh, yeah, I notice it in clubs. Like, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God, are you left-handed?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Yeah.
And with the flirty look you have in your eyes, people must be like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
I'm what's like, going on I'm here? Like, oh, God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
All right. What's some other things on the list? I'm just curious to know.
Oh, shit, let's pull it up.
Yeah.
I've dated 8 left-handed engineers.
8 left-handed engineers? Engineer, what is with the engineer thing then?
Oh, I like nerds. And I love math. I love math.
Math, okay. Math,
yeah, so like a math nerd.
Left-handed math nerd.
Yep.
That's like dirty talk to you.
It is, but like I'm trying to get out of this left-handed thing because like the last left-handed person I did, it did not end well.
Oh, it wasn't fun or not a good person or...
This is my
Yeah. Okay, you're not...
Are they a terrible person? No. Do I want to hang out with them? No. All and right. If you're listening to it, you know who you are. Go fuck yourself.
All right. Enough of that.
Sorry. Okay, so like, what's... Okay. Oh, here is what is... Here is number one with a bullet, but I haven't... I'm going to move it to number one right now.
Twins, identical.
Yes.
Korean.
Yes.
Magician.
Yeah.
Stuntman.
Yep.
Lawyer.
I've slept with a lawyer. Some of them I haven't crossed off.
Race car driver.
Yeah, like I wasn't being funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender.
That was who, yeah, I told you this other person. Like Michael Fassbender, like you can get my information.
Priest. Yep. Not dressed as one as at a party. No. A real priest.
A real priest.
A ice skater. Mm-hmm. Hand job from a hand model. Yeah. Foot job from a guy model.
You see, this is it's a long list, right? And like at the bottom.
Sexy ass Indian man.
Yeah.
Bass player. Mormon missionary. What is?
Okay, do you, Mormons?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing about Mormon missionaries. They can't be by themselves. No. No, they the only time they're allowed to be by themselves is when they go to the bathroom. And so I'm like, two for one.
Chef,
yeah.
Conductor railroad,
yeah. Okay, you know that that conductor is because I was in Long Beach and there was a sexy ass man at a party and I was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm a railroad conductor," and I was like, "List."
Okay, yeah. And he didn't make it on the list, but someone else will.
No, I left Long Beach very shortly after that.
Pirate,
yeah, but not Jack Sparrow.
Hungarian,
I think I said. Oh, let's cross that one off.
Cross Hungarian is yep. Crossed. It's gone. Mm-hmm. All right.
So like it's not a short list.
Algerian, yeah. Syrian, Iceland, tall, dark, curly hair from the Netherlands with blue green eyes.
Okay, let's talk about this one. This was for a specific guy. Like I met him and we were talking and like he would not sleep with me. He would not sleep with me. So I was like, I'm gonna put this on my list just to manifest this guy. I should have put his name, but I didn't. Can't remember his name now anymore. Then I slept with a guy who fit this exact description.
I'm crossing it off.
Hold on. And I said, do you like tell me the things you wanna like what you wanna do? And he was like, drummer.
Okay, so drummer is off.
Yeah.
So the tall dark curly is off.
No, why? No, you can't. You can only do one.
Oh, wait, it's a long list.
I told you it's a long list.
A spy, astronaut, guy yeah. with 11 toes.
I told you. I used to let my friends add things.
Rabbi.
Yeah. Oh, love Jewish men.
Double dick.
Yeah, there's people that have two dicks. I mean, like, this is not like a 2023 list. This is like a lifetime list.
A native person. What is a native?
Okay, person? So like a native, like a, oh, hold on. Cross it off. Okay. Definitely someone with a native person from the States.
Okay.
I forgot about him.
Serbian. Lumberjack.
Yes.
What is it?
Like a person that cuts down trees. They're sexy. Oh, okay. Like, ooh, like if they like have a beard and like.
And 61 items checked. Italian, Brazilian, someone who speaks Portuguese, Jewish man, not just culturally, vegan, Russian, Persian, white guy named Marcus. Fireman, a blonde, a ginger, 10 plus inch dick.
Yeah.
Apple.com millionaire. Engineer,
app or a .com millionaire. I did that. My last boyfriend was that.
MFM threesome.
Yeah, this is before. This is like I told you. This is I'm just getting started.
Married man, guy with man bun, man with Indian citizenship, kinky motherfucker, Swede, car salesman with pink tie. Car salesman with pink tie. Yeah. You got that.
I did.
Bodybuilder, pilot, Australian, bubble butt.
Yeah, I like guys with big butts.
Aye.
Like, especially if they ride bikes and they have, like, the big thighs and the big butts. Arr, I'm going to bite it.
Ballet dancer.
Yeah. That was in London.
Scotsman. Short guy. A guy named Andrew.
Oh, guys named Andrew are usually hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is in my like experience, a guy named Andrew is usually a hot piece.
Left-handed is here.
Yes. See? And like I cross it off of Merlin, like I could tell you like every
Italian in Italy.
Yeah.
Scandinavian. Anarchist. Man with a tickly beard.
Yes.
Tickly beard.
Yeah, tickly. Tickly.
Like a long beard.
It's just as long as it tickles a little.
Oh, okay. Czech, Greek, Dutchman, bi, male, female.
Yeah.
Ambidextrous, what is it?
They can use both hands equally.
They what?
Can use both hands well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, drummer, you said.
Yeah.
Man over 67 years old.
Yeah.
A native person. A man who can sing Polizei.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of dated one for a while here.
How was that? Everyone has like no police,
Okay, like would I fuck a policeman in the States? Fuck no. ACAB. All American police eye are bastards, right? But in Berlin, have you seen the police eye here? Like they're all fucking hot. All of them. Like I feel like they have to submit a headshot to be a police eye here. They all have to be fucking hot. Like the one, especially like there was like this one police eye station in Nikon. Every guy that walked out of there, fucking smoke show. Weapons grade smoke show. This is how I learned how to say hello, blue eyes. Hello, blaue Augen. I learned this because there was a police eye that I wanted to like talk to. Yeah.
But where did you meet the, this one you dated. Did you meet on like a dating app?
No, I met him in Kit Kat.
Ah, really?
Yeah, I didn't know he was police eye when I met him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, this was amazing.
This was it for Playful Podcast this week, but please follow, subscribe, and listen to our next episode. And if you want to have a say about future artists or even ask your own question to one of our guests, follow us on Instagram and make sure to add your question when we lift our coming guests. Thank you so much for joining and see you next week.
Okay.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.